ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय were all suitable for all ages in all places. Therefore, the rules and regulations were standard and without flaw or defect. Kings like Maharaj Parikshit had their council of advisors, and all the members of that council were either great sages or brahmanas of the first order. They did not accept any salary, nor had they any necessity for such salaries. The state would get the best advice without expenditure. They were themselves samadarshi, equal to everyone, both man and animal. They would not advise the king to give protection to a man and instruct him to kill the poor animals. Such council members were not fools or representatives to compose a fool's paradise. They were all self-realized souls, and they knew perfectly well how all living beings in the state would be happy, both in this life and in the next. They were not concerned with the hedonistic philosophy of eat, drink, be merry, and enjoy. They were philosophers in the real sense, and they knew well what is the mission of human life. Under these obligations, the advisory council of the king would give correct directions, and the king or executive head, being himself a qualified devotee of the Lord, would scrutinizingly follow them for the welfare of the state. The state in the days of Maharaj Yudhisthira or Maharaj Parikshit was a welfare state in the real sense of the term, because no one was unhappy in the state, in that state, but he, be he man or animal. Maharaj Parikshit was an ideal king for a welfare state of the world. So, so much lecture in this prayer. So I'll just read this verse again. Śrīla Uvāca Tathā Parīkṣit Vijāvarya Śikṣaya Mahimmaha Bhagavatā Sasāsāha Itā hī succam vijattā kovidhā samadhiṣyam vipramahā trinastatā. Śrīla Goswami said, O learned Brahmanas, Maharaj Parīkṣit then began to rule over the world as a great devotee of the Lord under the instructions of the best of the twice born Brahmanas. He ruled by those great qualities which were foretold by expert astrologers at the time of his birth. You know, this is the Vedic process that we follow in the Hare Krishna movement, that we accept knowledge in the descending process. Those who don't follow the Vedic process, they accept knowledge in the ascending process, which means they, through speculation, experimental knowledge, they try to, and with the one's limited capacity, one tries to come to the point of perfect knowledge. So, the Vedic process is better. There are three ways of acquiring knowledge. Prajaksha, which is direct perception. There's anuman, or the process of the mental speculation. And there is satabrahma, which is accepting Vedic sound as perfect. And the process of direct perception is it is very limited, because we depend upon our limited senses. The sense that process, there are four defects in that process, is that our senses are imperfect. So if we look in the sky and see the sun, we see something about the size of a dinner plate. So that's what we may think, oh, the sun, is about the same size as my dinner plate shining brightly in the sky. But, so actually the sun is, vastly big. The size is inconceivable. But to our vision, we're seeing it as quite small. When you look at the moon, sometimes the moon rises and people say, oh, gee, the moon is so big tonight. You ever seen that? You know, you think, oh, it's usually small, and they're thinking, oh, the moon is so big. Actually, the moon is always the same size. If you, you know, if you, they do a test where you hold a, like a pencil or a ruler, you'll see that no matter how big it appears, it's actually the same size as the ruler at that. But relative to the horizon and what have you, it appears bigger or smaller. So, in many ways, our senses are defective. They're imperfect. Therefore, you know, it's not possible to, you know, get correct knowledge. Just sometimes a child, you know, will look at the fire, and a young child, it's called anamaya, in the beginning stages, whatever a child sees, they see as eatables. Going to eat it. So if they see a fire, they will try and pick up maybe the burning embers, you know. And they'll want to grab it and eat it. Like that. Prabhupada gives that example. Yeah. You know, so the senses are limited. One can't acquire knowledge independently. One actually has to depend upon others. Now, apart from the senses being defective and limited, limited means that, you know, we cannot understand unlimited knowledge through our limited senses, which are also defective. Therefore, we're subject to commit mistakes. We make mistakes. We may accept, and we're subject to illusion. You know, we may accept one thing as another. We may see a stick and think it is a snake, or we see a snake and think a bit of rope and we'll pick it up. And then the fourth one is that despite all those imperfections, we may try to still teach our knowledge, which is imperfect, to others. So that's cheating. So, you know, Prabhupada would always catch out the scientific-minded. You know, they would always say that, you know, but we're trying to come to the stage of knowledge. So Prabhupada says, as soon as you say you're trying, it means you're imperfect. That's it. And therefore, how can you teach? You know, if your knowledge is imperfect, as soon as you say you're trying, that means you're imperfect. Therefore, if you teach from that platform, you cheat. So, this, you know, but actually, knowledge, therefore, has to be accepted by going to the perfect authority. That is the Vedic process. That, therefore, for instance, Prabhupada gives the example that if you want to know who is your father, you have to ask the perfect authority. You have to ask the mother. She knows that this is your father. That, you know, you cannot just go and ask each man. Oh, you know, this man looks a little, you know, there's some family resemblance there. He looks a little bit like, you know, my uncle or have you. You know, are you my father? You know. You can't go around the world searching out, you know. You'll never find it. You'll never know. You have to just ask the mother. You have to go to the perfect source. And so this is our process. And therefore, you know, the Vedas are considered the perfect source of knowledge. And therefore, the Vedas are accepted as it is. Even though sometimes there may appear to be some contradictions. So, for instance, one may, the Vedas may say that, you know, the stool of an animal, or, you know, one's own stool, is, you know, impure. If you touch it, you become impure. But then the same Vedas would say that the stool of the cow is pure. So you may say, well, you know, so the Vedas have contradicted themselves. Therefore, it is imperfect. But actually, you know, if you examine, I'm not that we want to, but see, this is the beauty of the Vedas, of course, is that it saves us so much time instead of, you know, examining all the different stools in the world. You know, sometimes doctors have to do that, right? You know, doctors have to, Prabhupada mentions they have to examine a different stool to see how a person is built. But you know, if you, instead of examining all the different animal stools and insects and what have you, you just take it from the Vedas. And if you examine, if you do examine, you know, the stool of the cow, you'll see it has the antiseptic properties. Now, Srila Prabhupada, in order to, so, you know, if we make the statement, of course, that the Vedas are perfect, people will challenge that. You know, I'd like to challenge that. So, therefore, Prabhupada defends the perfect nature of the Vedas by, as in this purport, he describes that, you know, so from our point, we understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. This is the ultimate teaching of the Vedas. But that is, you know, that is a very, very high conclusion. But to come to that point, first one just has some faith in the Vedas himself. So therefore the Brahmanas, all Brahmanas previously were versed in astrology and Ayurveda. They may have, some particular expertise, but practically, Prabhupada points out, previously, nearly all the Brahmanas, they picked up astrology and, you know, Ayurveda very, very quickly. He gives the example of the Ayurveda, that in the Ayurveda describes that the body is composed of, the three elements, mucus, bile and air. And we can detect the movement of the air, the life air, through the pulse. So therefore, those who follow the Ayurveda, if they want to examine, you know, the person's health, they will just check the pulse. Anyone ever had that done? I've had that done, yeah. What they do is they examine the pulse and they see that, well, this pulse appears to be like the walking of a sparrow. It's going too quick. Well, this pulse appears to be like the walking of a crow. Oh, that's too slow. So they, you know, they examine this, and by the, you know, too slow, too fast, you know, they detect the imbalance of the, you know, life airs, the mucus and the bile like that. And then they can, according to the Vedas, then the Vedas will say that, oh, you know, this person is likely to have this illness, this condition, and therefore there are certain symptoms associated with that illness, and therefore the Brahman will say, you know, have you been a little bit tired lately, or, you know, are you getting headaches like that? And they will check the symptoms, and if the patient confirms, yes, that's it, that's right, then it confirms, you know, so the symptoms are there. So then they will prescribe some Ayurvedic medicine, which, you know, will usually cure them quite quickly. I remember when I was in India, I used to always get very sick in India. Anyway, one time I was very, very sick, practically dead sick. And this devotee from another temple, all the devotees had gone on pilgrimage. I was lying there dying. But this devotee from another temple came there and he said, is anyone looking after you going? He said, no. And he said, you need medicine. I said, yes. So he spent a good part of the day. It took him many, many hours to find a good Ayurvedic doctor. And I had so many symptoms, I was suffering so much. And then this Ayurvedic doctor came, you know, he looked at me, he checked my pulse, things. He got this little bit of paper, like newspaper, put a little bit of powder in there. And he said, swallow this. And so I swallowed it, and I could feel it going from my head to my toe. It was almost like an instant cure. It was just within, you know, although I rested that night, the next day I was sort of up and about a bit. I was still, it was just amazing how it just immediately, I felt it literally curing me as it went down, like my head down to my toes, just, you know, wonderful. And so, you know, he knew what he was doing. He didn't speculate. There's a funny story about, you know, you all know Corman. One time Corman saw me when I was in Vrindavan, another time I was ill. He said, "Gangi, you look a bit yellowy. Maybe you've got jaundice." So, you know, the cure for jaundice is you give someone rock candy. So he brought me this big lump of rock candy. He says, "Eat that." You know, and I was very, very weak, so I thought, there's no way I'm going to be, you know, if you eat rock candy, it's like eating a rock. So I had a load of water beside me, and I dropped it in, and I sort of fell asleep, and I woke up and thought, "Oh, I better drink that. Corn says it'll fix me." So I drank this, sculled this, you know, liquid syrup, and it just about killed me, you know, it was like this. No, I didn't have jaundice. It wasn't bitter, it was so sweet. It just, you know, I was tripping, you know. It was like, you know, I was so intoxicated, you know, in Vrindavan. But, you know, there is a difference. No offense to Corman. So, anyway. Still, you know, the Brahmanas, for ordinary knowledge, they would go from house to house, hut to hut, you know, door to door. Every family had the access to, you know, medical and, you know, astrology. They would gain faith in the Vedas, you know, in the ordinary dealings through the Brahmanas. Astrology was also used because they would say that, you know, it is such and such a tithi, you know, you can do this festival for Lord Krishna, you can do this festival like this, you know. You know, they would engage them in the various samskaras. Prabhupada mentions when he did a lecture on this particular verse. Actually speaking in the first canto, chapter 12, and he describes that the samskaras of the school of Sanatana Dharma, so, you know, that's our, you know, eternal, man's eternal engagement, so we have samskaras, but for the Vaishnava, Sanatana Dharma, they're highly suitable for creating an atmosphere, for taking advantage of good stellar influences, and therefore Garbhadhana Samskara, or the first seeding purificatory process prescribed for the higher castes, is the beginning of all pious acts to receive good, pious and intelligent class of men in human society. So, the Vaishnavas also, you know, perform Samskaras. The Prabhupada was once asked, you know, in this age of Kali, the recommended process is chanting Hare Krishna, so should we perform Samskaras? And Prabhupada said, the minimum. We do the minimum. It's not that we neglect, but we don't make a big thing, but we do the minimum. And so, you know, the Brahmanas would also help people to perform the various purificatory processes, give them, you know, the dates, that this is a good time for, you know, conceiving a child that will be very pious and you know, of good qualities like that. And sometimes even for health.
Prabhupada mentions that when he was working for Dr. Bose's laboratory in India, that Dr. Bose was a very famous physician, a very good and qualified physician. And Prabhupada was working there at that time, so he saw this. He was treating someone for, this person was vomiting blood, so he was treating him for tuberculosis. So then what happened was the patient complained that he wasn't becoming cured. And so Dr. Bose said he should see this particular astrologer. Now this astrologer was one of the same astrologers that Prabhupada says he was a great astrologer. He actually made correct predictions about Prabhupada's life, which came true. And he said, you're treating him, the astrologer said, you're treating him for the wrong thing. He doesn't have tuberculosis. He has a sore on the inside of his throat. And so then Dr. Bose treated him for that and he was cured. So, you know, the astrology and the medical, they go hand in hand. They're very helpful. They would also act as priests and teachers. So practically every person, you know, had access to knowledge, you know, medicine and, how to perform all the necessary duties, you know, the right time and the right way. As family people or in any of the ashrams. And this way it saved them a lot of time. It saved them a lot of money. So therefore, by the direction of the brahmanas, people in the Vedic age were able to live high thinking, simple living, high thinking. And so it's, you know, and it also, it gave them faith in the Vedas because they were getting, practical help on all levels, and therefore the average person, although they may not be, very conversant in the Vedas, they had access to all the Vedic knowledge they needed. And then some things which were, going into the transcendental realm of, who is God, who is the Supreme Lord. The brahmanas, as priests, would also give them instruction, as to, for Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the same reason that, when the priest was giving Ayurvedic medicine, they would say the Vedas are saying that, these symptoms are here, therefore this condition is like this. You have these characteristics, therefore, you're suffering like this, and this is the way to cure it. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his qualities, are listed. In fact, the appearances of the Lord are also mentioned, when the Lord will appear at scheduled times. So we understand, this is all summarized in the Nectar Devotion, that the living entities, the jivas, of the 64 qualities that are there in the Absolute Truth, Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, 50 of those qualities, according to when we analyze the essence of the Vedas, 50 of those qualities are found in the jivas, the living entities, in minute portions. The demigods, up to Brahma, they have those qualities more. Fully as far as the living entity is concerned, but not unlimitedly as the Lord has. Pure devotees also have those 50 qualities fully. Then there are five other qualities which are found in Brahma, which are not found in Brahma and Shiva, which are not found in the Jivas, and particularly in Lord Shiva, even more so than Brahma. Then there are five other qualities which are found in Vishnu Tantra, which are not found in Lord Shiva even. So up to 60 qualities. And those qualities are manifest in the various avatars, more so in Lord Vishnu and even more so in Lord Narayan. Then there are four qualities which Krishna has, which are not even found in Lord Narayan. And therefore, when the Supreme Lord appears at a scheduled time, or even sometimes various great demigods or, you know, great personalities, we're able to understand by their qualities, astrologically even, as they did with Prigat Maharaj, you know, here in this verse it describes. You know, they didn't say Prigat Maharaj was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They say he was a great devotee, because, you know, it is understood according to the various level of qualities which are there. But he was a pure devotee because, you know, he had those qualities to such a high degree. Like this. So, therefore, the people could, therefore, with faith, accept the Vedas, even up to the point that the Brahmanas are saying, well, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so they're gradually building their faith in the Vedas and all the way up to, and then they will explain also how to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is the process like this? So this is a very interesting point here, you know, how we, you know, how astrology applies to Parikrama Maharaj, which is a pure devotee of the Lord, whereas generally, you know, we think of astrology in terms of, you know, material calculations. So, you know, there's some interesting quotes in this regard that, for instance, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father, he was in the Lambra Chakravarti at the core, he predicted when Lord Chaitanya would appear. So he's predicting the Lord will appear and he will appear at this time, particular time. So he's using astrology to predict the appearance of the Lord. In a morning walk, Prabhupada was speaking with one of his disciples. The disciple was saying something very, you know, like, oh, we don't believe in, you know, astrology, what have you. Prabhupada said, no, we believe in astrology. He said, in my life, I see, in my horoscope, everything is written. What I'm doing now, everything is written. And he mentions that again, you know, in a lecture in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, he was saying, you know, this astrology, not all astrologers. Mostly Prabhupada didn't have, you know, he was very condemning of, you know, pretty much the majority of astrologers. But he does say in the 12th chapter of this first canto that misuse of a great science does not make it useless, you know. So, you know, if it's done properly, so here he's saying even to himself. In the Prabhupada Leelamrita, you know, we also read that the Satsvarupa Goswami describes the prediction that was made for Prabhupada. He said that at the age of 70, Srila Prabhupada will cross the sea, become a great exponent of religion and open 108 temples. One time someone read Prabhupada's hand and said that whatever you order you give will be executed. And now another, you know, another astrologer once said about Prabhupada that said previously, so I'm not sure, you know, asked or somewhere in the past. So previously he was a great physician and he was completely sinless. And Prabhupada said that to Tamal Krishna Maharaj in a letter. And in Tamal Krishna Maharaj's diary, one time Tamal Krishna at a later stage was sitting with Prabhupada And this is just a casual conversation. Just sort of out of the blue, Prabhupada said that he mentioned the same point again. That he said, yes, you know, the astrologer said in the past, I was a physician, I was completely sinless. But I did kill a snake. You know, as a physician, I did kill a snake in order to extract the venom. But he said that's not sinful. You know, that's the beauty of a doctor. Sometimes they do that. So he wasn't, you know, he didn't just write that one off either. You know, he commented on it further. So, you know, and you know, of course, there's the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's that very nice in the Hari Lila, chapter 17, where an astrologer says to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, can I read your astrology? And he says, I think you are no different from Krishna, the absolute truth. And you know, it mentions there, Prabhupada mentions in his third book, obviously this, you know, astrologer was also a pure devotee of the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with him, and he actually blessed him with love of God and that he could go back to Godhead. So, you know, so therefore, you know, the Vedas and the science of the Vedas in the right hands, you know, can practically tell you everything. You know, the Vedic knowledge, you know, the point was that we take knowledge from the perfect source. And it's not difficult to prove that the Vedas are the perfect source. You know, if one follows the Ayurveda and the Jyotish and what have you, you'll see just how practical, how wonderful, you know, how exact a science they are. And people previously would get this on a regular basis, and therefore they would also have faith in the Brahmanas, especially the Vaishnava Brahmanas, that they would help them also to understand who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, these days people accept that, you know, anyone, you know, yes, this one is God, that one is God. You know, I accept they're all God, like that. And you know, Srila Prabhupada examines the foolishness of that mentality, that you know, it's much the same as saying that if someone says, oh, who is your husband? And the wife, she goes, well, he is my husband. He is my husband. He is my husband. He is my husband. Like this. You know, it's not possible. You know, you know, as Prabhupada said, it's sort of more the attitude of a prostitute. You know, there's something very wrong about that attitude. And just accepting anyone without qualification. But when people say, oh, yeah, I accept everyone as God, it's a very, you know, dissatisfying mentality that, you know, not properly checking their qualifications. When those qualifications are easily verified in the Vedas, you know, who is the demigod, who is Brahma, who is Shiva, like this. It means that they haven't studied the Vedas properly, like that. Here, now, the reason, of course, that the main teaching of the Brahmanas, especially if they become the Vaishnava Brahmanas, then they become qualified to be a guru and teach spiritual knowledge. And if they can teach people who is the Supreme Lord properly, you know, it's not done by worshipping these demigods. You worship the Supreme Personality of God, Krishna, his various incarnations, expansion, Narayana. You worship the Lord, then you will develop all good qualities. This is mentioned here in Prabhupada's purport. That they predicted that Maharaj Parikit would have all good qualities. And Prabhupada says because he was a great devotee, he developed all those good qualities. So that is natural. And it says that the real qualification to become a devotee of the Lord, and gradually all the good qualities worthy of possession develop. Prabhupada says, in one stroke, by helping people to become a devotee of the Lord, that person develops all the good qualities. In other words, you don't have to personally train each person that, you know, don't be a thief, and then somehow train them, you know, don't be violent, you know, to other living entities, and, you know, don't be envious, and you know, don't be proud, and you know, don't be foolish, and, you know, don't go through life with your mind and senses so uncontrolled. You know, if someone becomes a devotee, all of those things automatically become manifest in the course of just worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay. Otherwise, if one is not a devotee of the Lord, they cannot have the good qualities. And Prabhupada said, if someone has bad qualities, it's incompatible with being a devotee. And he gives the example that, you know, if someone is a devotee of the Lord, and therefore we see that everything is the energy of the Lord, all living entities are coming from the Supreme Lord, why would one, you know, kill an animal to eat an animal? This is, you know, one can't consider oneself to be, you know, properly elevated in God consciousness if one is killing and, you know, eating for sense gratification other living entities, which are, you know, come from the seed-giving Father, the Supreme Lord, and at the same time say I'm God conscious. It's much the same as Prabhupada says that if a father has, you know, so many children, and one of the children is not very intelligent, he's not going to earn very much money, he's not going to be very successful, he might be a little slow, a little backward. And the son says, you know, this one's a bit slow, a bit backward. Can we kill that one? Yeah, it doesn't have a lot of value. Can we kill that one? There's no way that the father is going to allow that child to be killed. And people say that, you know, oh, they're animals, you know, we'll kill those ones. And there's no way that the father will allow that, even if they're a little slow, a little backward, you know. It's not going to happen. So, what is the question of having God consciousness? So, a devotee, you know, devotees develop all good qualities, and if devotees don't have those, you know, minimum good qualities, you know, then their devotional, their God consciousness is called into question. You know, it's incompatible. You know, okay. So, this Krishna consciousness movement, of course, is just helping people to become God conscious. And, you know, this is another interesting point on this position of how, you know, astrology can apply to devotees, because the Brahmanas would also help the people to, you know, understand their, you know, work that they should be doing, which category, you know, are they Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, and therefore they would get training from that from the very beginning. See, people these days, even when they're in their 30s and 40s, they're still saying, you know, I think I've made the wrong career choice, you know, I should have done this, you know. They get to teenage years, you know, 20, 30, and they can't decide. They don't know what to do. But the Brahmins would say, no, this one, train this one like a Kshatriya, train this. From the very beginning, you know, save so much time. But at the same time, they're teaching them how to be devotees. That is the proper system. And if they become devotees, then they can change their category. And Prabhupada mentions that in, you know, different, I've got some quotes here. But Prabhupada says that, you know, say the Brahman says, well, this one is Sudra. But at the same time, the training in devotional service, if they develop as a devotee, they can change their category and become a Brahmana. Once Prabhupada said to Madhavisa Swami that, you know, the devotees, they're not under the laws of material nature. You know, if they're properly surrendered to Krishna, we're talking, you know, people are properly situated as devotees, they're not under the laws of material nature. And therefore, despite the indications at birth, they can choose any occupation they want. Whatever's suitable for their devotional life, you know, they can choose a particular occupation which creates a nice lifestyle which fits in nicely with the devotional life. You know, gives them some time to, you know, associate devotees and, you know, chant and what have you. And it gives them opportunity to preach, through their work and things like that. So, there's no contradiction if it is applied properly. But the main thing is that, you know, we teach people how to become devotees of the Lord, and then help them become properly situated, and then they will, as Pariksit Maharaj did, he was not a Brahmana, but he was also a great Vaishnava guru. And it's also very interesting, although he was a great Vaishnava himself, he actually constantly took advice from Brahmanas. Prabhupada said that the kings were always surrounded by Brahmanas and astrologers. Always. Every king. There's no question that a king would ever not be getting constant advice from Brahmanas and astrologers. They would tell them that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has appeared as an incarnation. Or, such and such. There's so much advice. They would just derive the great wealth of knowledge which is there in the Vedas on a transcendental level or on an ordinary practical level. Whatever the king required, these Brahmanas, would just derive that knowledge, and they would consult and give different, from different angles of vision or different levels of expertise. And ultimately, Prabhupada wants that this society trains up a society where there are qualified Brahmanas who understand all the aspects of the Vedas, because as Brahmanas, the Brahmanas in this society are meant to ultimately advise and teach other Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, and the Sudras, and everyone else. That is actually, what ISKCON is there for, to, train Vaishnava Brahmanas who guide every section of society. And as we said, they can guide them from the very beginning. You don't have to tell people about Krishna. You just have to somehow give them faith in the Vedas. Even, whatever ordinary thing they're doing, somehow a Vaishnava Brahman would just give them some faith in the Vedas, gradually, and that will build, to the point where you can tell them Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and they will accept. Then their life becomes perfect. So this is the system, we accept this because this is Krishna's book. One time someone said, to Prabhupada, are you, your books, creating something? He said, not my books, they're Krishna's books. These are Krishna's words. And Prabhupada said, because I take knowledge from the perfect person, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore what I speak is perfect. He said, the devotee will never speak anything which is not Krishna's words. And if a devotee only speaks Krishna's words, their words are perfect. So we, this is the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the guide for ISKCON. If we follow that, then ISKCON will become perfect. So anyway, I will leave it there. Anyone has any questions or comments?
That's
in the back of the Gita that, I am the goal of the Vedas, and that's right.
And I heard also that it's just like
the
Vedas, pomegranate is very good for people having heart disease.
Oh, pomegranate.
Okay. Have you heard of
it? I've been studying pomegranate.
For high blood pressure.
Yeah.
And those people having cardiac problems.
Oh, okay.
They are going to say that pomegranate is if the cardiac is
What's that?
Pomegranate is
Yeah.
Oh, okay. The pomegranate of the day. I had one the other day. They're very nice, actually. Okay. I'll have one a day. I'll take it from the Havana.
I always wondered how can astrologers detect Krishna's position if astrology is somewhat a mundane kind of calculation of the moles and the previous birds and so on and so forth.
Yeah, because how many?
Well, you know, it's like this. Who puts up our road signs? The devotees or the mundane people?
Sorry.
Who puts up the road signs? When you're driving your car, who puts those road signs up? The cars. We don't put them up. But who uses them? Who uses them? We also use them. Do we say that these road signs are put up by the karmis? I'm not going to use them. It doesn't make sense. If you use anything in a mundane way, it becomes mundane. If you use it in the service of Krishna, then it becomes transcendental. And there are so many examples that Prabhupada gives himself where astrology can be used in a transcendental way. We use the road signs to go on sankirtan. The astrology is just road signs in the sky, and we just use it as sankirtan. That's it. Well, for instance, to drive a car, you first have to study the learner's guidebook, and you look in there and says, this sign means stop, and this sign means go. So, similarly, you read the Vedas and it says, this, sign in the sky means this, stop, actually, and this sign means go. And,
the Vedas themselves, the signs of astrology themselves, have an indication how is one of these signs of the incarnation of God?
Yes, because, for instance, there are 12 signs. Now, each sign, so that the time of birth, that is the Rasi chart, it is one of 16 charts. Now, what you do is you take each sign and it can be divided into another 15 ways. So, for instance, you can take each sign and divide it into 9 divisions. That's 9 here. And that is the Navamsa. So, therefore, each of the planets, plus Rahu and Ketu, will rule one of those divisions. That Navamsa chart, if you have the sun in Leo, so it's in its own sign. And if it also happens to be in its own Navamsa in Leo, that means it's within a 3-degree, 20-minute division of Leo, where it's in its own Navamsa, that means you get so much benefit, plus you have a good wife. When a planet is in its own positions, in the 16 divisions, that is in the case of the Supreme Person. Or great Vaishnava, or what have you. Some of these things are so rare. That means, sometimes, for instance, a lay person will look at the chart and say, oh, this is a Christmas chart. You can look it up in the, it's there in the commentary on the 10th canto by Vishwanath Chakravarti Kaur. It shows you Christmas chart, her chart. But it's only when you see the various they call it, divisions, that therefore it's the exact degree of the planet. Someone may say, he's got his son in Libra, but how do we know that that's the Supreme Person of Godhead? But the exact degree to the minute defines whether it's in all the 16 divisions or not. And that's only seen by the astrologers. So therefore, for the average person, so there are different layers in astrology.
same with a medical person. A medical person will, you know, can perceive illnesses on a certain level, and the more trained they are, they can go deeper and deeper into layers that even other physicians can't see. So it is there, and therefore you just say, you know, this person is a brain person, I've got it. So it's predicted in the scriptures, it's shown by the Brahmins that they can discern, yes, these qualities are there, and then when the person lives their life and manifests those qualities and activities, it's confirmed again. And therefore, all the acharyas, who, as Prabhupada said, most of our acharyas were actually great astrologers. And his is all of our acharyas except Lord Sri Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, according to the indication of the Vedas, according to Krishna's own qualities and for all purposes. So therefore, we accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah. Any other?
Yes.
So, you know, it is such a great science, and most of it is unknown to in this age. You know, the huge proportion, even the Vedas. I think what is it? It's only a small percent of the Vedas we have. It's something like about 6% or something. You know, but yeah, you know, most of the Vedic knowledge is not actually accessible to us. But, you know, we have some of. There's only a certain percentage of it. I've understood. I'm not sure what it is, but same. You know, the astrological, awareness of Gargamuni and what have you, just not available in this age. So, you know, therefore, Prabhupada gives a good caution. You know, just be somewhat careful of just putting your faith. He didn't want his devotees just to 100% put their faith in astrology, because, you know, in this age of Kali, you know, it's very easy for there to be mistakes, or everything is limited, everything is somewhat deficiency. You know, the best thing is your first faith, your total surrender is in Prabhupada and Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Other things are helpful, and that has to be tested as well, that our full faith and conviction is in Prabhupada. That is, you know, perfect, and other things are, you know, limited to some degree. You know, if they're helpful, then we accept them to some degree, and if not, we reject them. But Prabhupada, you know, he wanted to particularly caution his followers, because in this day and age, he considered that, you know, the majority of people who practice astrology are not doing it properly. So therefore, best devotees leave it alone, mostly. Any other comments?